This is Robert Monroe, and here's another track from our Explorer files. We have coded this one TCA. He is a physicist by profession and is one of our older team members. Older, that is, in terms of number of sessions. Much of his work with us quite naturally falls into exploration that might relate to our space-time technology. Here's an example. He's already well into Focus 12 and reporting.
I've gotten all kinds of things on it, and I've been trying to sort them and put it into some kind of rational order. But first, before I start, I was corrected, and the answer to the previous question was, or the correction I got was, we didn't say that we didn't know anything about a 15 megahertz signal. We simply said that it was of no consequence to you. So they claim they're not necessarily ignorant, but that it's nothing really to concern ourselves with. It's not doing anything to us or with us or for us, or it's passive, I expect, as far as its interaction with us, whatever its intended interaction might be. Anyway, back to the other question. First of all, I had the impression that the physical matter reality and as much of as much of, I guess, what is normally called reality, not only physical matter, but also a certain amount of our daydreaming and imaginative, intuitive qualities, are part of a sort of like a large daydream or thought from a higher consciousness. And just as we can daydream and invent characters and situations, we are characters in a situation that was invented or dreamt, so to speak, in this case, though, quite consciously dreamt by a more advanced sort of consciousness. And the part that we have to play in this daydream is one of education, one of learning and bettering ourselves, striving to become more. Now, I'm not clear why this kind of over-consciousness or over-soul is having this daydream, but I have the feeling that it's for its own education. It learns as we learn. Anyway, we have such limited consciousness to begin with, because if you're going to set up a situation where you expect certain processes to happen, these processes, of course, are our education, our learning. You don't set up the most complex and involved experiment or situation. You set up a simpler one, as simple a one as you can produce that still has the qualities to get the results that you want. And this is the reason that we are seemingly of such limited consciousness, but the reason that we have an option to develop our consciousness more fully is part of the The experiment itself is such that we are to learn and grow and evolve and become and learn through experience and doing, and as closely as we can come to understanding and being a part of or understanding our part of our creator, our over soul daydreamer, if you like, then sort of the more power to us, the more of that we can understand, then the more learning that we've acquired. So it's not really, well, I take that back. It's not so much that we are driven to expand our awareness, or that we should be, other than it's available. And being available makes it a direction in which we can evolve if we so choose. That's a little jumbled even to myself, but that's the way it's coming out.
Very good. Then let's move to another area and switch into another area. In this physical matter of time and space, what other energies are available to us that we can use to replace what we now use, such as fossil fuels and electricity? What other energy can we use that will replace these if we so desire and so need?
My mind, as you were still speaking, was the static electromagnetic field, or the static electric field, I should say, that surrounds the Earth. And also, I was just told the Earth's magnetic field, as well as its static electric field, have enormous amounts of energy.
How can we tap these? How can we utilize these?
Seems like it, I got the picture. It seems almost facetious to me, in a sense. It was making a very large electric motor with the Earth as the central permanent magnet, and a very large coil of a big solenoid, or a big coil of wire, surrounding the Earth, large enough to be in space, not under gravitational, a coil that would be in space rather than in the atmosphere or ionosphere or anything, rotating slowly about the Earth using the magnetic field to cut the flux lines and create the electric potential. Just a big old dumb motor, except a very big one with the Earth as a permanent magnet. Now, I don't know whether that was given to me as a joke or what, but I got a very clear picture of it.
Ask how we can reduce this down to a level that we can use it in our Earth environment, in our backyard, so to speak.
You can't reduce a motor made up of the Earth as its permanent magnet into your backyard, but I saw that there are techniques using the Earth's electrostatic field that are not so grandiose. I see a bunch of long, thin cylinders oriented with the long axis up and down, oriented normally to the Earth's surface. These cylinders aren't that large. We're not talking about space things. We're talking maybe a few hundred feet. If they're a few hundred feet tall, then they must be 6-8 feet in diameter. They seem to be light, almost like a translucent plexiglass is what they appear to be. Sort of like a big gigantic fluorescent light bulb, I guess, is the best. 100-foot-tall fluorescent light bulb of about the same relative dimensions of length to diameter that a fluorescent light bulb has. And these things seem to glow. Now, I don't know what's in them, but the electric field gradient through these objects normal to the Earth's surface seems to create some sort of energy that's can be tapped off of this somewhere in the middle of it, I'm not sure, or toward the bottom. I'm getting these things mostly visually. Has something to do with materials. I don't know whether they're solid or hollow with gas in them, but it's a materials type thing that I don't know whether we have the material yet, whether it's been, you know, discovered or invented or whatever. But I'm just being shown this as a possibility, a way that it can be done.
Very good. We have heard talk or mentioned in various places of a motor that will be the size that could fit in an automobile, for example, that operates on some magnetic principle. What about this?
Answer, but the answer was sure, but that takes superconducting materials or superconducting magnets that right now you can only produce with cooling down to the temperatures of 4 degrees Kelvin, which is about liquid helium. And that because of the requirement of superconducting metals, coils, that and because of the cooling requirement to keep these coils in a superconducting state, that it's not practical now, or that it doesn't seem practical with our present technology, I should say that. Not that it will never be practical. Perhaps there are ways of producing superconducting phenomena without the necessity to get it down to temperatures of liquid helium. No, I don't know anything about that. I don't know of any such engine or whatever, or motor. It just, that was what I was told, that the superconducting problem and the low temperatures was the crunch as far as our technology went.
What about the energy that is being used for this communication now, as you move there and you are communicating and asking these questions? There is an energy at work there that apparently does not seem to be electromagnetic or magnetic. Is another form of energy. Is this a form of energy we can apply here in this reality?
Energy in this reality, as it affects the awareness. As opposed to as it affects physical matter. Now let me try to straighten that out. This energy that we're dealing with now is not electromagnetic, true. It's not physical in the sense of your physical energies, but it can be used and utilized to change or vary the awareness, and the awareness can be used to change or modify the physical environment. But it's not so much that you're using this energy to manipulate physical structure as it is that you can use this energy to manipulate your awareness of physical structure. For example, you can use this energy to change your awareness of cold such that you are no longer cold, such that you are warm. Rather than heat the house, heat the man. The man can heat himself by becoming unaware of cold. So it's in that sense that this energy can be used to moderate your environment by changing the impact of the environment on the individual, rather than actually using the energy to manipulate matter. Now, this is a very fine distinction. If you are not cold, you are not cold, because you no longer are aware or sense that you're cold, or because your room is heated. It seems really to make very little difference in the end.
Then, what of some of these people who have made have come into public view, who apparently are using this kind of energy, such as a Uri Geller, for example? Is he using this kind of energy to affect matter?
He is using another kind of energy to affect matter. The last answer was specific to the energy that we were using to communicate. I'm not quite clear. The energy that Uri Geller uses to affect the matter is somehow different and not the same as the thought transfer, the information transfer, the energy involved in information transfer that we're using in this communication. I had a inclination that there were almost like others or a third party involved in the energy that Uri Geller was utilizing. That this was not necessarily available to no, that's not right. I was going to say it's not available to everyone. It's not really that it's not available to anyone. It's just that there's like some constructive interference as far as Uri is concerned that helps him direct or use this energy. And that's what makes this energy seem to be accessible to him. I guess one would say he's being helped. He's not doing this all on his own.
Is such energy available to us?
Yes, there's no prohibition that would disallow us from utilizing it.
How can we then utilize it? How can it become available to us?
It says you need to get the people to help you out. You need to get the I don't know, whoever they are, to be cooperative. The obvious next question after this, well, how do we go about that?
That's correct.
Begin to start doing it, just as we began the communications with some in the very beginning. We're full of stumblings and uncertainties, and gradually became established more securely and better that if we begin trying to apply energy in the same type of manifestations as Uri Geller exhibits, that if we begin trying to apply energy in the same type of manifestations as Uri Geller exhibits, that that will give these people or entities a place to start, and that it will develop. And we should not expect immediate success, but just to keep working on it, and it will come. That they're not tied to Uri Geller, say, in any specific, you know, sense that they're his and he's theirs, and that they can't do anything else. So it's not like it's just a local phenomenon that he can exercise. They generally will work where the interest is. I don't really see that there's... The problem seems to be communications. I don't really get the feeling that, well, I suppose we perhaps could establish communications with these people, same kind of communications that we have now. There for a while, I just didn't feel that. It seemed like they were just kind of incommunicado, but then I got a feeling to the contrary. Or information to the contrary.
Who are they?
I don't know. I just get a they. They're a somebody else. I don't necessarily make them out to be anything particularly supernatural or strange or holy or anything like that. They just seem to be a sort of like another organization, just as we've seen organized helpers and workers that have worked with us in our communicating and traveling and information. They're like a separate task force, so to speak, a different group that utilizes this energy primarily, or this mind-to-matter energy as a primary tool rather than the communication type energy.
there's no specific step that we could do to establish contact with that other organization of Thay's.
Well, I feel that, yeah, there is. I don't know just what it is, but it's like they're out there, and it's like they're not unwilling. I suspect our step is desire. We wish to and begin working at, and they'll be in touch. You know, like many of the other things, it's a matter of us putting forth the effort and having the desire that finally brings results.
Is not this kind of energy a means of manipulating physical matter?
Yes, it is. I get the information that it's what you're doing is really getting the cooperation of the physical object itself to change its form. So the spoon realters its form, not because forces and pressures or temperatures have forced it to a new form, but rather it is an interaction between the material itself and this energy, which is different than thought energy, but focused and controlled by the mind. It's almost a cooperative thing. It's not that the metal is pushed into bending, but the metal sort of bends itself. It's almost as if the metal becomes a servant or obeys the desire of the individual and restructures itself.
And that should offer some interesting opportunities, should it not?
It certainly should.
Very good. I think that we'll then let you begin to move back down.
You will notice that TCA has the same strained pattern of speech that is typical of the explorer mode. He is unable to reach back and use his vocal cords while in an out-of-body state, as ROMC is able to do. However, he can communicate with a third non-physical party while in Focus 12, as you have heard, still within the physical. At a later period, he began a process of momentary return to his physical body so that he could report on his activities in the out-of-body state. Here is one of such reports. GSR, 20 points over normal.
Back into regular 12. Had two encounters. The first with an unseen intelligence who replied to a general query for communications. Sort of a, I'll talk to you. But it was obvious that he, or I guess I say he, I got the feeling of a he, wanted to listen, like, okay, you know, what do you want to talk about? And as I tried to put the burden on him or it for some information about itself, about its environment, it got very displeased, and with a very kind of loud and disgusting noise, it left. I got the feeling angry for being bothered. Sort of like bumping into a busy New York pedestrian. The second was much more interesting. The second communication, I didn't just get an intelligence, but got a complete visual image. Female, late 30s. And she was very pleased to communicate, offered to show me around, and showed me a lot of the facility. I don't really know what else to call it that she was in. Some of the rooms, some of the things, none of which I understood. One thing in particular, she thought, I had the feeling, was very impressive. And we walked up to this, like, wall, and two big doors swung open. And there was nothing there that seemed impressive at all. But she thought that these markings and irregularities of the surface were quite something. I don't know why. I didn't relate to it at all. She then took me to several other rooms and places, none of which could I relate to. I asked her if she was in any way familiar with my with physical matter existence as I knew it. And she was not familiar with that and asked me to explain. That was very difficult. The explanation was pretty much impossible. I didn't really know how to explain physical matter. So I asked for if it was all right if I came back, and that I would wanted to leave to report in. She seemed a little dismayed that I was taking off after having just gotten partway through the tour. But she says, all right, and I came back to report. That brings us up to the present moment.
Very good. In your return, or communications with her, go back and try and understand the type of energy involved there, the type of basic knowledge of what we might think of this is. Ask in terms of energy, basic laws that exist there.
Okay. 3 minute time left.
I thought I'd better report before I forgot much of what went on. Reestablished contact with same female. She was quite surprised that I indeed did return. Pleased. At first, I began to wonder, what did this intelligence really look like to itself? Was I just imposing my own image of female human, humanoid form? And we discussed this, realizing that I was creating this image of her and could not really tell whether this was her own image of herself or not. She likewise was creating an image of me in a likeness to which she was familiar. and whether or not these likenesses were similar, mine and hers, there was no way to tell. So we left that question. Then I got an itch of some intensity began on my neck, and I tried to explain that I existed in another reality besides the one I was sharing with her, and that I had a physical body elsewhere, and that that physical body had an itch on its neck and was disturbing the focus of my attention, and that's why I seem to be fading in and out as my attention wavered. She seemed to think that was quite incredible. I don't believe she believed me at all. She just kind of ignored that statement like one might ignore somebody who says an irrational thing. I asked her about her physics. She took me to another place where there was another entity, this one male, and there was a writing surface, much like a blackboard, but not a blackboard, whereupon he attempted to explain the nature of things there. We had no success at all with his writing. The marks he was making on this surface, this blackboard, were totally unintelligible to me. And we, after a few efforts, gave up, tried to go to pictures. All the time we could communicate telepathically. Pictures were okay. He drew some pictures. And from the telepathic exchange, I felt that their science, indeed their concept of their existence and of reality, was in many ways similar to our own, in that they were fixed in that reality. They could not travel out of it as I had traveled out of physical matter reality into theirs. They seemed to believe that they were fixed in their reality and couldn't really travel out of it. I don't know whether they even believed that there was any other reality other than their own. They had a physical science much as we do, in that the objects in their reality obeyed very specific laws. I tried to see if any of their laws were similar to ours, such as gravitation. It was very difficult to tell. I couldn't separate what was there. Well, I couldn't find out what their concept of their reality was. All I could do was translate into my own concepts, meaning I did not see them floating around in air, but whether that was because they experience a thing called gravity like we do, or whether that was a function of my own experience visualizing humanoids not floating in the air, I could not tell. But I did feel that they had a basic physical science that ruled the objects of their reality. They didn't move things around by thought processes or anything like that. It seemed sort of like an Earth-type physical reality. to them, although I don't recognize many of their devices and structures seem very foreign, but they seem to be fixed and isolated within those devices and structures. Somehow I appear to them as one of their own kind. Whether that's humanoid or not, I don't know. Maybe I should have tried to find out where they think I came from, or who they think I might be.
And there you have a report from TCA, who also has the quality so necessary in our explorations: calm serenity, whatever the environment or adventure. We would appreciate any comments, opinions, or perceptions you may have on these explorations we are sharing with you. Simply write them to me in care of the Institute. And this is the end of this particular Explorer Tape.